Spirit of God, search me deep within. Remove all limitations from my own understanding. Reveal all that is hidden. Show me great and mighty things that I know not of, to glorify my Father in heaven. Spirit of God, search deep within me.
Heavenly gracious God, as we come before your holy presence, we ask your forgiveness for each and every known sin that's in our lives, be it words, thoughts, or deeds. And we thank you for what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for each one of us. As we enter the message, we ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to take the message and make it clear to whoever the listeners are that did not tune in by accident. May the believer of the household of faith know that you're always with us, irrespective of what's going on around. Say the hand of the devil, the flesh, the world system, and out of it all may Jesus Christ and only Christ be glorified. So, what did Mordecai hear from the two men that could affect the Jewish community? Did you read ahead in the book of Esther? Are you looking around at what's going on today globally? Are you looking at what's going on with Israel and those nations that are trying to come against it? And you're wondering, where's God? Find out. And another question is, how about the spiritual watchmen and women of your community? In yours, wherever you live around the globe. Oh, and by the way, and here in the United States, in my community as well. Well, Mordecai You know, he heard. These two men overheard him. You know how you do, men. You talk just like you always got to claim like the ladies do, but you do as well. You know. And it was good that these two men did. And it was good that there was somebody that overheard them, you know, trying to act like, you know, they weren't listening. It was meant for them to be overheard. Because what Mordecai heard was an assassination plot. They were conspiring to kill the king. Say what? Oh, yeah. You know, we're talking about the king's physical life. You know, there are individuals out there that's opening their lips and they're conspiring to hurt another person with their tongue. So what did Mordecai do? And some may say Mordecai. Well, he immediately got the word to Esther, remember? Oh, well, you can go to the book of Esther or just play the previous segment on Challenges of Faith radio program. And when he told Esther, you remember now she's a part of the beauty pageant, she then told the king. And you know what the king probably did? You know, maybe like you. He probably let her know that he looked into it. And guess what? Found out that it was true. And he put those individuals to death. Traitors to death. So what's important about the story so far? I know you're reading along. Well, what had just happened was written down in the Chronicles of the King. And those was probably the laws of the kingdom. But there was no mention of any reward, any thankfulness, any appreciation given to Mordecai for saving the king's life. Say what? Oh, wait a minute. You know how you do. You do, don't you? When somebody has done something for you and you and you, and you can't even say thank you. You can't even share your appreciation. You take for granted when the person is doing it out of the kindness of their heart. And when it comes to believers or followers of Jesus Christ, when people run around thinking meekness is weakness, and it isn't, well, how about that good Samaritan out there, or that good Samaritan lady? But here we're talking about the king. And it was like it was just passed by. But guess what? Remember I asked the question, what was God like you be trying to a lot of times when you're going through the challenges of your faith? Remembering that you're either in the trial, coming out of one, or waiting for one? Well, God was working. And you're going to see it. But around this time, here you got the king. He promoted a man by the name of Haman. Now, that's going to be important now. And this man was appointed to be second in command. That's a powerful position. Think about it, those of you who are CEOs or owners of your business or in government or whatever the case may be, and you appointed somebody second in command over all your subordinates, your employees, your peers, all of that. That's a lot of power. And a lot of times these people that's in these positions of authority have never had that type of power before. And so once they get it and they have taste, then they're like, oh, I can do this. What? I can do that. Oh, I can do this, that. And it tells the story about them. But you gave them the power. But Haman, he comes from a long line of anti-Semitics. You know, individuals who hate Jews. And I know you didn't do your research. Oh, that's a topic for another day. But let me stay on course. When you go back and do your research and you trace the history of this world, do you notice you're always going to find individuals attempting to eliminate the Jewish community? Look at here, all the way from Haman to Hitler. Oh, and what's going on today over in Israel? Hamas? those other countries surrounding Israel and not even near Israel. And when you really get into Haman's history, his family can be traced all the way back to Pharaoh in Egypt. Remember? Oh, yeah, the Pharaoh who tried to eliminate the Jews by killing the firstborn in Egypt. You can also go to the Agagites and the Amalekites, you know, the enemies. How many enemies does Israel have? Well, have you read the word today? So when you go back, you see the enemy of Israel. Remember, God told Saul to wipe them out, you know, the Agagites or the Amalekites. And you can turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 8, and read it for you. Don't you want to know history? You know, like your own history. Don't you know? Want to know where you came from? And if you're blessed, don't you want to know your lineage on all sides? And so what you have, when you look down through the ages, God has, oh, you think he's not going to protect Israel today? Well, everybody's been scratching their head how they keep surviving. You think God ain't going to protect the believers of the household of faith that accepted his son by faith through Christ, his death on Calvary? Well, anyway, God is going to protect his people. Do you remember when you read the word how you can see how he appointed them to be the custodians of his revelation that through them, that's how we would have a savior? Do you remember when you look at the word how that the Messiah came through the Jewish people? He didn't come through you, or you, or you, or you. You may not want to hear the truth, but that's between you and God. God even went a step further. When you go back in Isaiah's time, he promised, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Wait a minute, hold on, hold on, as we continue in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Remember, all scripture is not to you and me. Who was it written to? Get the total chapter, the total book, the total verse. But all scripture can be applicable to your life if it's applicable. So who did God promise this to? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and their righteousness from me. So Holy Spirit of God to illuminate his word. God says no weapon against you will prosper. And that included Haman, you know, the new prime minister. He despised the Jewish people. And if God had moved earlier, strong, Haman would have exterminated the Jews. Now ponder that for a moment. Go ahead and think about it. Go ahead, take your time while I get my water. You ready? You continue? You sure? All right. So you got Haman taken in command, despising the Jewish people, and our loving God moved Hester to the throne. Here now, you got the king. He sent word across the kingdom about Haman, letting everybody know about his new appointment. And not only that, he made it a law. And the law he made was people had to bow down before Haman. But guess what? Mordecai, he wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to bow down. But why doesn't he bow? And maybe that's you out there. In the political world, educational world, sociology world, criminal justice world, medical world, ministerial world, pew world. Maybe somebody wants you to bow down. Maybe out there on your job. and you recognize who you are and who you belong to and whose you are. But the question is, have you been in a position like that? What did you do? Think about it. Here's the king made a law for you to bow down to his number two. But the question is, why didn't Mordecai? Well, have you ever thought that maybe it's because he was brought up under the Mosaic law and was taught not to bow to anyone but God? You say, Gary, what is that at? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. And maybe Mordecai's co-workers, you know, his peers, maybe they begged him every single day, you know, Mordecai, you need to get down all before, you know, and bow before Haman. You're unwise. Matter of fact, you're crazy. You're jeopardizing your position in your life. Is somebody around you saying that to you? Because they have bent the knees. Because they're begging for a position. They're begging for a title. They're begging for the love of money. They're begging for materialism. They're begging for, you put in place what everyone is begging for that have sold their soul. Okay, I wouldn't do it. And to tell them he was a Jew and that he worshiped the one and only God. How about those little G gods in your life? Is it the love of money? The love of being seen? The love of looking at yourself? The love of your clothing, your car, your zip code? What is it? What's first in your life? Who's first in your life? But Mordecai, he had to take a stand. And now they knew why. When was the last time you took a stand for that which you know to be right? Irrespective of who's coming against you. Remember? No weapon. You say you trust in God. You've seen how God has worked in your life. You see that when you thought he wasn't there, oops, he was there. You thought you did it? You thought this other person did it? Oh, okay. Mordecai took a stand. And guess what? Everybody understood except Haman. You know that person. I said, that man, that woman, who they got it going on. Chest all stuck out, pride. You know how the devil felt. And the demonic forces that went with him. You know, the word lets us know you got three enemies, the flesh, you, me, inside. The world system and the devil. Remember now, the devil is over. The world system can't do no more than what God permitted him to do. But he is over kingdoms, nations. Wow. And what about those individuals who don't know the God of the scriptures? You think they're being influenced by him? Well, look around you. Believer of the household of faith. But Haman was mad. He was angry. Think about it. I'm number two. You don't have to bow before me. Oh, you're not bowing for me, but everybody else is. He got it going on. He really think highly of himself, didn't he? And others probably thought highly of him, except God's man. Oh, what a guy. He probably didn't recognize he was God's man at that moment. Esther probably didn't recognize that she was God's woman at that moment. Do you recognize who you are at that moment, wherever you are? But Haman, because of that anger, sin, he's not going to only take out his hatred on Mordecai. He's going to take it out on all the people, the Jewish people only. Now we see the conspiracy. For those of you who are caught in conspiracies, that's real. Haman is working to destroy the entire nation of Israel. Is that what's going on today with Hamas and those nations who are supporting them? They made it clear. It's in their charter. Could you imagine somebody having a charter in your neighborhood, next door, in back of you, in front of you, all surrounding you, even on top of you, below you? And every day in their charter, they're supposed to come to your address and do you verbal harm? No. You're missing the point. I know you're not. And do you physical harm? Up like, I'm going to take your life. Oh, and yours and yours and yours too, because you live in that house. I don't need to know you. I just know that this is your skin tone or your religion or your cult, whatever the case may be. Haman is not playing. He's working to destroy the entire nation of Israel. Now we can see how God, our loving God, was moving behind the scenes in this pagan heathen court. And here you see God putting somebody on the throne next to the king in order at the right time, the right moment to intervene on behalf of God's people. God was behind the scenes keeping watch over his own. And you got the nerve, my brethren of the household of faith, whether you're a prodigal son, prodigal daughter, or in a right relationship with God, not to recognize that God is with you through your trial, through that pain, through that joy, through that happiness. Can you identify with it? I can. Oh, I can. Yesterday I was driving. A vehicle coming the opposite direction veered into my lane for no apparent reason. Almost like they lost control of their vehicle, did they? I shouldn't have to blow my horn 90 times and take evasive driving action to get out their way. You are in my, how did you get way over in my lane? No weapon, demonic and two-leg weapon formed against you, or you of the household of faith, can prosper. The next time we're going to continue, we're going to look at what's Naaman going to do? What's he going to do? We're going to watch him come up with an ungodly and wicked plan to destroy God's people. You know, the word lets us know that there are individuals, because of you who are believers of the household of faith, for the cause of Christ, Jesus Christ, not because of something you're doing or I'm doing. The word lets us know that your enemy, even those you don't even know who are your enemies, smiling all in your face, mine too, can't even sleep at night. Think about it. They can't even sleep because they're scheming and scamming to harm you, to harm me. Just remember, he's with us no matter who or what. Remember Romans chapter 8? I know you did. You sure you remember Romans chapter 8? You sure? Why should you?
No.